A lot of things we didn't used to do, we do on a regular basis now. The COVID-19 pandemic really scrambled society's eggs, and we're just trying to make an omelet out of the mess now. The United Way of Jackson County is always in the business of working to help people and organizations with particular needs. The needs obviously mushroomed in a big way with the advent of the pandemic and the restrictions meant to slow its spread. Let's hear about the COVID-19 Fund and other efforts of the United Way of Jackson County. Deanne Everson is the executive director of the organization and one of our guests on The Exchange. Welcome, Deanne.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
It's good to have you here. Christina Kruger's with us as well. She is the Pacific Power Regional Business Manager and also involved in the doings of United Way. Christina, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you. Good morning.
Deanne, start us off. Talk about the usual mission of the United Way and who it interacts with.
Well, our vision of the organization is to create positive community change. And our mission is to mobilize caring to affect change. So I think we're certainly delivering on the promise of those two, because on March 13th, we opened an emergency fund to help with COVID-19. And since that date, we've raised over $360,000, and we have spent over $270,000 of those dollars immediately to help more than 735 families in our county.
So spent three quarters of the money already. Wow.
Yeah. And we get 20 to 30 requests every day, and we try to turn them around in 24 hours. And we've done that through the generosity of people who live here. All this money is and support comes from local folks and organizations and foundations.
You mentioned the fund started on March 13th. Can you remember watching the gathering storm before that and a particular moment when you might have said, uh-oh, this is going to get big?
I think that we knew we needed to be responsive and that we had regular emergency funds. We have an ongoing emergency fund in usual times, whatever those are, called Hope Chest. And we decided that day that we needed to make a lot of really important fast decisions, including allowing some of our staff to work remotely, including repurposing emergency funds to help people who were suddenly out of work. And, you know, a lot of the folks we help aren't just paycheck to paycheck. They're a paycheck or two behind.
Mm-hmm.
And that we needed to get responsive and allow the programs that we give funding to repurpose those to do whatever they needed to do in this time of emergency. So we did all that day. And amazingly enough, people responded immediately.
Give us a sense of comparative scale. I mean, how big is the Hope Chest fund usually, and then in comparison to the COVID-19 fund that has been created as well?
Well, on an annual basis, Hope Chest spends about $100,000.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Just for the whole year. Mm-hmm. There are lots of nonprofits who have emergency funds to help clients, because we've learned that if you can forestall that moment of urgent or toxic stress by alleviating a bill or two, you can actually create change in a family's life. And so,
give them breathing room in a sense.
Yeah, yeah. That's all it does, is gives you a chance to take a breath.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, but that's amazing, though, that the COVID-19 fund is already almost four times the size of the usual Hope Chest fund, that it's only been active for 2.5 months.
Right. And it genuinely just came pouring in. And donations are still coming, and we're still committed to spending 100% of the funds raised on expenses related to this. United Way isn't keeping any of the funds. And we've had great support from organizations like Pacific Power and other corporations to help us get word out, get the stories heard, get people involved. And last week we began distributing homemade masks, and we distributed over 1,000 of them to local nonprofits who are getting ready to reopen, and they're all made by local seamstresses.
I saw that. I saw you on the cover of the Mail Tribune yesterday with the big pile of masks in front of you, and that was just a very small portion, I guess, of the overall take.
Yes, because I can't fit 1,000 of them on my desk.
No doubt. Well, I'll come back to the masks in just a bit. Thanks for the entree to Pacific Power, because I do want to bring Christina Kruger in now, the regional business manager from Pacific Power. You've got a full-time job and your own workers to think about, but as a utility in every home, does your company feel a greater sense of responsibility, perhaps, than some businesses?
Oh, absolutely. We've been a part of the community for over 100 years, and that's been quite an honor, but taking a look at what's happening now in our changing climate, essentially, in so many words, We're committed to doing all we can to support our customers and community during this time, and we are members of the community. So partnering with United Way seemed absolutely logical. It's been great working with the Oregon Community Recovery Grant Fund as well, because we're seeing the funds that we're contributing kind of go out and help all of the communities that we serve in the area. So it's been good.
Talk about the Oregon Community Recovery Grant, where it comes from.
You know, it's a combination of multiple businesses in the state, 302 organizations, as a matter of fact, and then there are several nonprofits and other organizations that receive funding from that or from the Community Recovery Grant Fund. Looks like they distributed about $7.8 million already to 302 organizations. So it's been quite interesting to see, you know, how people can get together, collaborate, and then find the organizations that are really going to be more effective in trying to, you know, support our most at-risk community members in response.
Did Pacific Power make a contribution directly to the COVID-19 fund itself?
So, yes, we've actually provided over $250,000 to critical community-serving nonprofits, and then about $37,000 from that went to Jackson County United Way directly.
Okay, so definitely a pot sweetener to get things started off there.
Absolutely.
We are talking about the COVID-19 fund and other efforts of the United Way of Jackson County as the pandemic continues to unfold. Deanne Everson is the executive director of the United Way of Jackson County. Christina Kruger is with Pacific Power, the regional business manager. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Your questions, your comments, your identification of needs, welcome here on the exchange by phone at 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Deanne, I know, you know, after all this time at United Way, the whole organization and you in particular have gotten used to being able to respond to needs as they develop, but how different was this situation, if at all, in the sense that so many needs developed seemingly all at once?
I don't think it was different, actually. I mean, we've learned from the Weed Fire and the Paradise Fire, where we're actually geographically the closest United Way. And in both those cases, we launched emergency funds to help those communities. And so when we had an emergency in our own community, we, of course, activated to be of assistance in ways that we could. And so our whole goal is to facilitate hope by connecting people with resources to people who need resources. And that's how and why we're able to do it. And we have a good reputation, for which I'm very proud, of being trustworthy and able to deliver. And so that's exactly what we've done. And we're paying all sorts of things, from utility bills to housing assistance, but also to prescriptions that are vital for people who can't pay the copay.
And what are you finding about the various government relief programs that have been set up? And I know certainly much has been said about the inability of the Oregon Employment Department's 1970s-era computer system to keep up with the incredible crush of demand. But are people, through stimulus checks and other programs, getting enough money to help them buy, or are they often ending up turning to organizations like United Way to get some additional help?
Well, it's taken a bit of time for people to get their first round of unemployment, and some people are still waiting for that. Especially, we have a lot of gig economy people in our county, and those people had to apply differently than people who work for someone. And so there's been a significant delay. But I want to say our county has been incredibly responsive, and the commissioners approved a $50,000 grant to United Way to help people unhoused in our community. And so we've spent a lot of funds helping with food and shelter and storage for people who are unhoused. So I think that our county's been especially responsive. The public health department's been great to work with in these moments. And the Greenway Food Project has been absolutely incredible. And we actually helped contribute to that project. So I think that locally we've had a great response. I think it is challenging. And it's not the workers at the employment department who bought that computer system,
right,
45 years ago or whatever.
So, I heard a message to not take it out on them.
Yeah, and people do, and you know, because people get stressed and they don't know what else to do. But I think they're working really hard. They're good folks, and they're working with the resources they have. It's not an excuse or anything, but they're way behind. But so are the people who are calling them.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned being the closest United Way to both the weed fire and the camp fire in Paradise, California. So how, are you getting far-flung requests like that again this time, or are there closer organizations that are able to step in there?
Other organizations are stepping up there. We use our funds only for people who live in Jackson County and some in Josephine County, because people have called from Josephine County to make donations and have asked that it go to that community. And so we've been able to do that.
Mm-hmm. And how does that work? How do you get it back to Josephine County?
Oh, we get requests all the time from Josephine County.
And we should point out too, Deanne, this is not just helping individuals, but you're also helping other nonprofits, aren't you?
We are. We give $1,000 emergency grants to any nonprofit. It's been really interesting to see some of the very small grassroots groups who have applied. The $1,000 goes to pay their utility and internet bills. And I would say internet bills are becoming really high up on the list of what we're paying, and that's because of trying to deliver service and trying to do schoolwork.
Oh, sure, yeah. When you have all these people trying to do their schooling from home, or teaching from home for that matter, too, everybody needs at least as good an internet as they had before.
Well, and they got to be able to pay for it. So
yeah.
We're paying a lot of Spectrum bills at this point.
Okay. Christina Kruger, give me some idea of what it's like on the development side, the beating the bushes for funding side. I wonder, given the current situation with so many businesses idled or at least reduced, if you're getting lots of sorry we can't help from some of the usual business supporters.
No, I'm not getting a lot of that. I think what we're seeing is just that people are stressed in a different way. We're still continuing to see a lot of construction and growth. And then we're also seeing nonprofits stepping up, and we're doing what we can to continue to support them and kind of pivot with them as they've had to. And then again, just kind of taking into consideration how grateful we are for the hard work of the United Way and making sure we're supporting them. And then what we are seeing is that there is an increase in, obviously people are staying home, so there's greater energy use. And so we're looking for ways to make sure that we're alleviating any added potential stress around home or residential utility bills, as well as commercial and business bills. So we've been doing things like, curtailing any disconnects for anybody that's having any challenges paying their bills, and then also making special payment arrangements just to let people know that, we understand we're all in it together. And if we can create some space and give people a little bit of peace of mind, we'd like to do that.
Is there an actual disconnect moratorium? I mean, is there a period during which you haven't or won't disconnect people?
Right. We actually made the decision, our leadership team made the decision to put a moratorium on disconnects back in March, right away.
And for how long?
At this point, we don't have an end date. We'll just keep taking a look at what's happening, and we foresee that there's obviously going to be some ramifications or challenges around the economy, people trying to get back to work, or businesses trying to make sure that they can continue to keep keep functioning, right? So I think it's going to be a little bit, but we haven't put an end date on it. So.
All right, and back to the funding coming into the COVID-19 fund, are there places that might normally be supporters seeking help from the fund?
I personally haven't been privy to that, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case.
All right, let me ask Deanne that question.
I would say absolutely there are. We've helped a lot of small business owners, salon owners, spa people, restaurant folks, a lot of hotel, motel staff, and people who manage those places. When we started our fund, we said you had to have been impacted by COVID-19. And now I realize that's almost somewhat silly, because who hasn't been?
Right.
And so it's like people are like, do I have to give you documentation? Do I have to do all this other stuff that you say? The first couple of weeks, we said you had to have a social worker review it, but social workers were hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, never mind that part. Let's just keep going and help people as much as we can, as quickly as we can. And, the moratorium on shutoffs and the decision by Pacific Power to do that, it relieves toxic stress in people's lives to know that their family's not going to be without power in the moment, even though they know they're still going to owe the money, it at least offers you a moment to say, okay, I can do something else with this little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still tough.
That is a major theme of what you talk about, Deanne, though, having a moment in which to get a bit of peace, relative peace, obviously, compared to the, you know, what else might be going on in people's lives at this moment. But a moment, anyway, to just hang on.
Sometimes that's all we need, right? It's, you know, if you're one of those people who's fortunate like me, and when you're really stressed, you fall asleep, you wake up and life is better, as opposed to those people who are sleepless, which I'm very empathetic for.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I can just, like, relax for a few minutes and wake up, and it's like, okay, I'm a little bit better. And so all we're doing is buying that breath.
We're talking about facilitating hope at the United Way of Jackson County, which has started up the COVID-19 fund in existence for about 2.5 months now to help take care of needs of individuals and nonprofits around Jackson County. You can join the conversation with Deanne Everson, the executive director, and Christina Kruger, who's involved in the effort as the regional business manager for Pacific Power. Our phone number is 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Deanne, you talked about originally reviewing things with the social work and realizing that just was taking up too much time. So, I mean, you're used to handling emergencies, I gather that, but have you had to be even more flexible than usual to respond to, A, the number of requests, and B, the speed at which they arrive?
There's no question. The one job I'm really glad I don't have right now is our finance director's job, because I am just pummeling him all day long with requests, and the stack of paperwork we've generated just to help people is over 2 feet tall
mm-hmm.
right now. And so I think just we've had to buy checks for the United Way twice.
Wow.
These are all things that we don't normally do.
Right.
Because we never write this many checks. And simple things like bank statements go from 3 or 4 pages to 39 pages. And so the massive increase in getting checks out every single day as quickly as you can is really important.
I'm trying to do a little math in my head here, figure out the $270,000 going out in 2.5 months. That's 100,000 divided by 4, about $25,000 a week, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's pretty fast. And mm-hmm. and when you say a social worker needs to be able to verify your need or look at your unemployment papers, you know, that's a great idea under normal circumstances, but these are anything but that. And so we don't require that anymore. We do ask that you provide us a layoff notice. I guess the big surprise to me in today's world, which speaks more about my age than anything else, is that a lot of people were laid off via text message.
Really?
And so
wow.
Like,
so not even an official, just like, hey, you're laid off, dude. Sorry.
I mean, obviously, I think more it was official because they were actually laid off. But I said, can you send me your layoff notice? And almost always they're screenshots of a text.
Wow.
And so I just, that's when I feel disconnected
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
from what a lot of people's daily reality is.
Is housing the biggest single thing that you're getting, people needing help with rents and mortgages?
Sure. Of that 269, almost 270,000, we've spent 140,000 on housing.
Mm-hmm.
And our maximum is $350, which no one's rent is $350.
No.
So it's not paying their rent, but it does keep their landlord friendlier.
Right, right. At least as they're making some good faith effort. I mean, you've got is it hard sometimes to figure out the interlocking stuff that's going on, because you've got money coming out of United Way of Jackson County, but you also have eviction moratoria declared by the governor, et cetera. So there's a bunch of interlocking parts here.
There are, and we have a lot of great partners in our community, like St. Vincent de Paul and the Teresa McCormick Center, and lots of other nonprofits providing emergency assistance. And last week, the state gave rent relief funds to Access for almost $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of responsiveness happening to help people stay housed, because we all know it's far less expensive to keep someone housed than to rehouse them later.
Let's come back and talk about the masks, because that was a thousand a jig altogether?
I think we distributed around 1,100, mm-hmm. and we still have requests for 1,000 more,
mm-hmm.
and there's still some all over my desk. and all over my office, and people, we just sent out social media requests to say, can you make us some masks? And they're so cool. Some are camouflage and Seahawks and polka dots, and I think my favorite are the Dr. Seuss Cat in the Hat one. Of course, they're for a kid, so I can't keep one for myself.
It's turned out to be a way to express individuality, it seems like, in what you wear for a mask.
Yeah, it reminds me of my grandmother's sewing room. That's what I think of. And some of them look like old quilt fabric, and they look like everything. And you know what's amazing is when you ask someone to do something, if it's specific and they know how, they're going to do it.
I noticed that with the sewing thing in particular. A lot of people who had any sewing skills at all and a working machine just got right down to it.
Boy, and have they ever. And, of course, you know, our round of masks are, you know, thousands of masks later that they've made, because all the seamstresses or seamsters in our community, they made masks for first responders, you know, non-emergency people.
Right.
And then they made them for all the assisted living centers. And now, as our nonprofit community begins to fully reopen and see people, they need to make them for our nonprofit community. And they are. And people walk up to our door with grocery bags and garbage bags full of masks. And because they're masks, we don't know who they are. We're like, hey, wait, can we take your picture? Can we get your name?
Right.
And they're like, no, here you go.
So, Deanne, we have just about a minute left, and I just want to ask about the future and how far you're even able to think down the road, because we just don't know what's going to happen with, you know, a slow pace of reopening and potential second waves, anything like that, and how long it'll take the economy to get going again. That's the major issue that sends people to you.
Well, you know, for me, the reality is that we have to begin to focus on recovery and how, as an economy in our community, how we get going again in ways that are safe and appropriate, and that we're careful and we follow public health's instructions. And we live in a small rural area that needs to be able to work.
Okay, well, that is the pitch that we're talking about, the COVID-19 fund at United Way. Deanne Everson is the executive director. Christina Kruger, the regional business manager at Pacific Power. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange, and best of luck.
Thanks so much.
Good to have you both here.